G'day, welcome back to the Fantasy Footy Bains podcast. It's a big day in the fantasy year. This is the holidays. This is happy holidays from Fantasy Footy Brains to you, to yours, to the things you own, your possessions, tangible and intangible. This is Teamless Tuesday. And of course, I've got Daniel here to celebrate with us. Daniel, how you going?
Yeah, good, Josh. It's like Christmas come again, eh? It's great to see round one Teamless. I love it.
Exactly, mate. We've got a lot to cover today. There's, you know, some good news, some bad news, some random hookers at Penrith getting named at 400k for some reason in NRL fantasy. Didn't want to help us out and give us an extra cheapie. But yeah, lots to go through, mate. And let's, maybe before we even get into Teamless, mate, what was your thoughts on Vegas round? Did you like the trappings? Did you like the visuals coming through at, you know, Sunday afternoon? Liked a few NFL players talking about how tough rugby is, and all that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a good little weekend in Vegas, actually. The games were pretty interesting. I was surprised with the Rabbitohs Manly game was so attacking and lots of points. It was pretty good to see. The field size really came in for the Roosters game. Like, they kept trying to hit Tupou and just there was no space out wide for him. He just got shut down every single time. But yeah, it was still very good game, still very tough, and lots of big scores coming out of it, which is good to see. A few injuries, which is going to be annoying next week, but yeah, I think we should be okay. Like, no one's going to be dropping Pierre Cora. He's going to be a season long hold, but yeah, it's just annoying that he leaves the contest with a zero because of a concussion in the first couple of minutes. Yeah, bit unfortunate.
But I wonder. I think there's a decent chance he gets named for round two. I'm not sure how much time they got in between games, but they obviously don't play this weekend. I think he'll probably have 10 days in between games.
Yeah, it's going to be tight.
Looked at it, but oh, of course the Broncos play on a Thursday night. so I don't know. Yeah, it'll be a tight one. And then, yeah, there was a few other ones. Jai Arrow, Tupanua, both seem to pick up niggles as well.
Probably even Sia Wong. He copped it off as well.
So all the guys I've started, essentially, I pick up injuries, so that's great. Burbo looked good, I thought.
Yeah, Ryan surprisingly,
Tommy
I think
D as well. Yeah,
he might hold that spot now. To be honest, like Schuster is going to have to play pretty well or train the house down to get Burbo's spot because he looked very, very good on an edge there.
I agree. Just the Trbojevic to Trbojevic to Trbojevic is just too good to pass up. For that team, but I guess the other one probably to touch on, Latrell also looked unreal. I thought just running over blokes, crashing over the line from short distances. If you started with him, you're pretty happy as well.
Yeah, I mean he is quite highly owned for what I thought he would coming into the season at 13%. So well done if you picked him up. He's got so many attacking stats in that game. It's hard to believe that, why no one picked, well, not everyone picked him up, basically. I didn't think it was going to be that attacking, but yeah, two try saves, a try, plenty of try assists and line breaks, seven tackle busts. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Lots of attacking stats.
Is there anything else you want to touch on from this first game? The Manly Rabbitohs, we put up obviously the scores on our socials and stuff. Some other guys did some things, you know, Olakuatu, Garrick were both very good too. But I think that kind of wraps up that one. Anything else from the Roosters or Broncos even that you want to talk about?
No, not really. Brendan Smith, get around him. Knew he would be the right player to have. but yeah, Payne Haas was very good. Played, I think, a few extra minutes because of that Pierre Cora head knock. They moved Carrigan to an edge. I probably don't see him playing that many minutes going forward, but it's just nice to see, you know, round one shows good scoring potential. So yeah,
I guess just lastly, thoughts on Tyrrell May. You reckon he's one? He looks like a pretty juicy buy potentially for next week.
Yeah, Robbo was saying that he's just a workhorse. Like, he puts him on the field in that first rotation and then can't really take him off because he just keeps going. It doesn't really have any drop off. So yeah, he's a definitely one to consider. He'll probably only be, you know, in the low 500Ks. And if he keeps getting, you know, 50 minutes off the bench, a not too bad one to have, just because he makes so many tackles and meters up the middle. So yeah, one to consider for sure. We'll talk about him in more detail probably next week when we see the break evens and what price he falls at.
Sounds good to me. Well, let's get straight into these team lists, mate. We got the Knights and Raiders game on the Thursday here. Nothing too much to touch on from the Knights. Dylan Lucas wins that edge spot, and then there's Kai Pierce-Paul, the English bloke. He's on the bench and looks like he's probably going to come on for Lucas. Adam Elliott gets the 13. Backline's pretty much the same as it was last year, with Inari Chawala on the wing now instead of Dom Young. Is there anything else that really surprised you here for the Knights, mate?
Not really. I think this is as expected, this team. I thought Cogger might get a start, but looks like Campbell's held that and they're carrying Cogger on the bench, so he'll probably split time with Crossland, I'd imagine. Dylan Lucas was one that a lot of people were looking at for round one, and I was definitely in that basket. But with Kai Paul-Pierce on the bench, I think probably give Dylan Lucas a couple of dates before we pick him up at this point, just to see how that rotation plays out with KPP off the bench. So yeah, we'll see.
I agree with that. If he was, I don't know, another 200K cheaper or another 150K cheaper, he'd be a serious consideration. But he's 550K is pretty decent gamble to take on a guy who's probably going to be only playing 60 minutes.
Yep.
And Kai Pierce-Paul has looked pretty good in trials and just looks like an athlete and has done some good things, I feel like, in this preseason. So definitely rate that as a shout. Moving on to the Raiders, mate. Jordan Rapana starts at fullback. Ethan Strange won the 5'8 role over Kerry Weeks, which was one of the probably biggest surprises of TLT. There had been a little bit of mail about it, but Sticky's confirmed that. Then Xavier Savage on the wing as well. We've got Danny Levi, your man, starting in the hooking position. Zach Hosking coming in at 12 with no Elliot Whitehead as well. Smithy's obviously getting the 13, as was kind of talked about during the offseason. Decent bit going on down in the capital, mate. What are your thoughts off the top?
Yeah,
here?
Wow. This team list, it's very interesting. Obviously no Chevy Stewart. Nick Kotrick is probably one that I would be considering, just because who's coming back in that back line? Sebastian Chris is coming back next week, probably will take Hopewadi's spot in the centers. So Kotrick probably is the most likely to hold that spot. So I think I'd go Kotrick, very cheap, to 60-odd K. Just needs to get back into a bit of form, I think. But if you can, yeah, pretty easy cash to make there. Ethan Strange, I don't need to talk too much on him. Everyone's going to have him now that he's been named at 6. Danny Levi is probably one that I will pick up and just carry in the emergencies. He'll probably pick up, 30 odds, like maybe high 20s, low 30s, but that's more than enough to make about 100K, especially considering he's only 280K. So yeah, Danny Levi is a good one to pick up if you just want to make some cash and have a spare emergency spot. And this back line, especially between Morgan Smithy, Zach Hosking, Elliot Whitehead had a calf injury, so I think he's gone for the next, 3 to 4 weeks. But then you've also got Big Red coming back into the picture as well. So I could very much see, Horsbrough come in at 13, they move Smithies to an edge and Hosking misses out. So we've got a lot of questions about Hosking through the Instagram. So I think, Hosking's probably one that I would just avoid at this point, because he's probably going to come in, get a huge score, most likely round one. Very good for draft if you can get him. But then he'll probably go back to the bench in the next couple of weeks. So yeah, not one that I'd be considering for Classic at all.
Yeah, they have always favored Elliot Whitehead, even when they've got other good edges there, when Corey Hurunera is playing well and things like that, you're like, oh, maybe they're finally going to drop Whitehead, but they stay loyal with him. He is maybe a co-captain as well for them.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, I rate your shout kind of off the bat here, mate, with Kotrick. I guess with no Weeks, it's really kind of dried up the stocks at winger fullback for cheaper players, and Kotrick is probably one of the guys that fits that mold now. He's like really cheap and he can kind of do it without a bunch of attacking stats. He gets a lot of random tackle breaks and those across field runs. So if he's playing, he should be getting at least kind of like the 20s to 30s. I guess that's probably all I want to touch on, mate. I think that's done it pretty well. I agree on your Danny Levi shout as well. We have him predicted to get over 100K in price rises if he's kind of averaging that 30 mark. So I think if you now, if you're not running with a Vlasic or a Hand, almost forgot his name. I think he's a pretty good shout as like a backup hooker option now, if you don't
Yeah.
have a Brandon Smith or one of these other guys.
I think the only potential, like, you can't really play Danny Levi. You can't put him in your top 17. That's the only issue.
Yeah.
There could be a case where, like, he comes on for the first 20 minutes and then doesn't come back and Starling plays the rest of the game. That would hurt a lot if that happens. But I think for 280K, he's probably worth the risk just to jump on for round one, and see how it all plays out. So yeah, we'll see how we go over round one, and yeah, hopefully he does, get the front and back end of each game. That should be more than enough to get him to the 30 mark.
Wait, man. Well, let's move on. Warriors, the Waz. We've got Tuipeke at fullback with he's starting the season there. He's only probably got a couple weeks. RTS because of Chance Nil-Clockstad coming back. Then there we got RTS in the centers. Metcalf has won that 5'8" spot again. Capel, I guess, is there in the edge spot. Apart from that, it's pretty much as we thought. Anything further here, mate, on the Waz?
No, not really. I'm avoiding the Warriors team pretty much altogether. They're all overpriced based on last year. They are guns, like Johnson's a gun, AFB's a gun, Tohu Harris is a gun, but they all have their own risks. Like, they're not going to make you any more cash, really. So I think I'd be just avoiding this Warriors team for now and seeing how it all pans out. Like, I still think they're going to be a top 8 team pretty comfortably, but yeah, I just don't think there's any cash to be made within this squad. Everyone's looking at RTS and how he performed in the trials and like, oh, I've got to get him in, but he was playing against a second and third string Titans edge, so I wouldn't read into those scores too much. But yeah, avoiding the Warriors altogether at this point.
He's probably the only one I'm considering RTS, just given how much base he usually has. I think I kind of was thinking back to his like Roosters days when he was on the wing there and just basing a shit ton every game back
Would
in the
always get
good
you
old days.
30. Yeah.
Yeah. And just now that there's not a whole lot of options in, there is a lot of options in winger fullback, but there's not a lot of cheap options. It's kind of making me want to spend up there. And get one of these bigger guys, but let's touch on that a bit more later. The Sharks as well, mate. Not a whole lot to discuss here. Cam McInnes getting the starting role in the 13. It's probably the big thing. Oregon Kaufusi and Royce Hunt playing in the starting front row. No,
Yep.
Brandon Hamiuweli. That's probably it, mate. Anything else here?
So I think Braden Hamlin-Ewely is, I think he's still a couple of weeks away. He's got a knee injury, so he will probably walk himself straight back into this team. So I was kind of looking at Royce Hunt a little bit because he's quite cheap. But I think I'm going to avoid him for now. It would have been nice to see where Hamlin-Ewely fell into this team before picking up Hunt. Strange that they're putting Rudolph on the bench. It's an interesting choice, but yeah, is what it is. I think I'd avoid their forward packs for now, except the McInnes Finucane situation. That's the big one. I think I'd probably give McInnes a couple of dates before jumping on board, just to see what his minutes pan out like with the forward rotation, because there's no bench hooker, so you know that there's going to be a lot of rotating for the lock and two front rowers, maybe even an edge. Yeah, I think I'd just wait to see how that all pans out before jumping on board McInnes.
Yeah, I agree. He's not cheap as well, so you're taking a pretty
Yeah.
big risk starting with him. But yeah, we've seen previous years if he's playing upwards of 60 minutes, he could be scoring upwards of 60 points. He's got a pretty good
Yeah.
PPM. He's a machine. So get the he's got the co-captaincy as well, which I don't know could boost him up a little bit as well, even from previous years.
Yep. He's definitely on my watch list for next week. That's for sure.
Let's move on, mate. We've got the Storm here next against the Panthers. And I guess the main thing for the Storm that really has come out of left field, not one that I'd really thought about, is we got this bloke Joe Chan starting at edge for the Storm. He was pretty much his team list dropped the first one into my team. What are your thoughts on Joe Chan? Do we know who he is? Not sure, but he's starting edge for the Storm and cheap, which sounds good to me.
Yeah, he's been there and thereabouts for the last couple of years. He got his debut last year off the bench in the last round of the season. Made some good base stats, you know, some like 70-odd metres through the middle and 10 tackles in 20 minutes. So running at roughly a point a minute, which is good to see. I guess the only issue is they've got a lot of depth there that they could move in. Like they've got Chris Lewis off the bench. You're going to have Nass coming back in a couple weeks' time as well into this team. Sean Blaws hanging around. They put Kane Bradley in there as well during the trials. So it won't take much for, you know, one or two bad performances, and I'm sure they'll just shuffle that that edge spot. So I am kind of, I don't know, I kind of want to go there, but like I just, you never know what's going to happen. I think at 260K, it's probably worth the risk to go him, because say he plays, you know, 40, 50 minutes, gets you like a 30, 40 odd. That's easy points and easy cash straight off the bat. So I think he's probably worth jumping on at this point and just stashing in your emergencies and hoping for a bit of a few cash rises over the first couple of weeks before they might change things up.
Yeah, and he's going to be one that is starting off the bat for me as well, to be fair, or on my four interchange spots.
Okay.
Just someone who should get at least 35 plus. Otherwise, I'm looking at guys like Danny Levi or Nick Kotrick. I'd rather take the chance on Joe Chan and see how he goes. And yeah, he's 21 years old, young gun. I think the risk probably outweighs, sorry, the reward outweighs the risk here. If he gets, yeah, 5-6 games even, and he's hitting 40s, that's, I don't know, 150K plus of price rises potentially. So be cheering with him.
Fair enough.
Don't think there's anything else from this Storm team list. I guess we've got Wishart here on the bench, who might come in and spell Harry Grant at some point, but I think with some of the other team lists, like we'll get into the Dolphins and they named bench hooker as well, I think Harry Grant's the clear-cut option at number 9 still. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, I've got a feeling Wishart might just come in with Harry Grant still staying on the field as like a bit of a roaming lock hooker player. So we'll see how that pans out. But like, even if Grant gets spelled for like 5-10, I'm not really worried. I think he's still going to score big. So yeah, pretty safe hooker option.
Sweet. Moving on to the Panthers here, mate. We got Taylor May obviously back. Probably the big one that surprised me was Luke Summerton being named at number 9. Really shows Sonny Luke must be really on the outer. I did not know who Luke Summerton was until this team list. Got a bit of an interesting bench here with the Peach, Lindsay Smith, Liam Henry, and Matt Eisenhuth. There, I was just looking before. It seems like Mitch Kenny has a 1 week suspension from his social media stuff that he was posting with everything going on there.
With
so
the suspicious bag.
Suspicious, yeah. What's this baking soda that he was hanging out with? I'm not sure, yeah. But yeah, man, anything else you want to touch on here with the Panthers?
No Sorensen. Which, yeah. Am I missing something? Is he injured or is he away? Or I don't know what the go is there, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, I did think about this. Yeah, Luke Garner starting in the edge there. No Sorensen. I'm not sure what's going on with it, honestly.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know what's happened. It's the one thing he must be carrying an injury of some sort. But yeah, because he didn't play in the World Club Challenge either. So I assume he's carrying some sort of injury. I'm not sure what the details are about it, but I'd still steer clear of Luke Garner. Probably means Liam Martin is a decent shout. He should be playing 80 on that edge now with Sorensen gone. And at 590K, it's not too bad of a shout, but you don't know what his minutes are going to turn out like when Sorensen's back. So yeah, probably one to avoid for now. But I can see Liam Martin being a pretty decent draft pick and scoring quite well for the next couple of weeks while Sorensen's away. But that's the only one I'd really consider. Obviously, Mitch Kenny's coming back in. Summerton will be out. Probably not much other value here. Obviously, most people are going to start with Cleary as captain, already have him locked in as captain, but I'd be avoiding the rest at this point. Oh, and Isaiah Yeo, obviously another gun that you could just lock in your team as well.
I guess we'll try and do some deep dive and see if we can find more about this Scott Tyrant's interest. Because if, I don't know, Luke Garner's got 4 or 5+ weeks at this point at 450K starting price. Maybe this is the second year syndrome for Luke Garner. Everyone thought he was going to be big. Last year he comes and finally provides some value for us.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to get 80. Like, what are the odds that he actually gets 80 on that edge in the first couple of rounds?
Who's coming in to replace him?
Maybe a Liam Henry, maybe a Lindsay Smith. They spell an edge. I know Matt Eisenhuth won't. He'll probably play through the middle, but yeah, I don't think he plays 80. I say that through gritted teeth. I don't think so. I'm not sure, to be honest. We'll have to wait and see. I just think it's too risky to jump on. It's like last year. We all thought he was going to be a gun and then just turned out to be nothing.
Pretty average. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. That's enough Luke Garner chat for one podcast. Yeah, fair. But the Eels, mate, they're the next team here. I'm scrolling through now. It's nothing too interesting with the Eels. The back line, we've got Morgan Harper, which probably surprised me a little bit. I didn't even realize he was at the Eels. He's starting there in the centers with the big penis. So then we got the two hooker situation is probably one that is the main talking point here. So Lussick and Hands on the bench. Lussick there in the starting spot as well. The bench is kind of interesting as well. So there's Madison there, Joe O, and Tuolungi, who looks like he's probably going to come in and spell Sean Lane, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, I think I'm steering clear of Sean Lane for now just to see. I'll give him a couple of weeks to see how that pans out because I wasn't convinced too heavily by the trials for Lane, unfortunately. So we'll see what happens there. Mike Acevo's out, so he'll be coming back in the next couple of weeks, and that'll probably push Simonsen into centre, and Harper will drop out completely, so probably one to avoid there for now. I do rate Harper. I think he's quite good. Everyone just thinks about that game where he just got barnstormed by Talakai, and that was it for him pretty much, but I think he's a handy centre. I just don't think he's probably the best centre pairing we have for Parramatta at the time, so yeah, probably avoid there. Yeah, we predicted this over the last couple of weeks. We've been saying that we weren't convinced by the Lussick Hands 80-minute role, even though Brad Arthur came out and said that that's what he wanted to do. They just don't seem like 80-minute hookers at the moment. So, yeah, I think you're steering clear of both of those. Yeah, absolute mind games. Probably steering clear of those two for now. But if one, I mean, it could just be a fitness thing. Maybe over the next couple of weeks, one of them wins it out and gets that 80-minute role, but you're waiting till that happens. You're not going to jump on them anytime soon.
I think probably the other thing I should mention with this team list, I think Jermaine Hopgood is one of the big winners here.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he should be getting huge minutes now in the mids there. Madison there, obviously on the bench, but they've played, you know, at the same time before. Tuolungi might come in and spell an edge here. Hands spelling Lussick. I think all signs point to big minutes for Hopgood. And I reckon there's a decent chance he's, if the bench continues to be named like this, he's top mid in fantasy rest of the year. Like, he's got that upside. He's got the offload. He's kind of got another year in this system as well. I've kind of moved my team around and done all I can to get him in. So
yeah, if you can get Hopgood, yeah, absolutely cheering from this, because Ryan Madison and Joe O are probably going to play through the middle. Tuolungi will probably spell an edge. I could see a situation where Madison does fill in at lock every now and then to give him like 10-15 minutes, but yeah, he should be playing huge minutes, Hopgood in the middle. So yeah, big winner.
Joe O is of course also on my watch list. He always is. But 409k coming off the bench. Two seasons ago, he was like 700k at the Tigers. getting bulk work. So I'm always kind of like interested to see if he kind of bounces back. He had one of the biggest price drops of any player probably in fantasy history last year. He dropped like 400K in a season. I'm not sure if that's ever been done before, but he kind of interests me as well. If he's getting, I don't know, 40 plus minutes in this team, could be some price rises there.
We just have to wait and see because Junior Paulo and RCG generally play 45, 50, so doesn't leave much time for your bench forwards. Especially when we've normally been carrying like Wiramu Greg on the bench who, comes on for 10, 15 minute stints at a time. So yeah, we'll see how it all pans out. But I wouldn't be jumping on them anytime soon.
Let's move on to the Dogs, mate. Let's just off the bat here. Some people are going to be starting Blake Taff. Dispel all rumors on your thoughts on this, mate. What are you going to say to those people?
No, don't do it. It's the biggest trap in the world. If he can't score points at the Rabbitohs, he's not going to be scoring points at the Dogs. So yeah, I'd just absolutely steer clear of him. Train wreck waiting to happen.
Yeah, he's paying $1 odds to get, play 80 minutes in fullback and get 9 points in base stats.
Tell you what, he loves a missed tackle. Loves a missed tackle. So yeah.
Loves a missed tackle, Blake Taff. Yeah. So he's been named at fullback, which I think is kind of surprising. I thought they might start Stephen Crichton there. Bit interesting their kind of backs make up with Blake Wilson, who's probably a little bit too expensive for consideration. Jacob Kuraz, he's one I've got penciled in at the moment, but we'll probably move away from. He's pretty interesting to me. Matt Burton, Drew Hutchison in the halves. They're forwards. I think there's some value here. So we got Faamasuli starting prop with Max King. Jamin Salmon starting at 13. The weak-gutted dog with Josh Curran named on the bench. Sam Hughes also on the bench. And Kurt Mann on the bench. Let's just talk about these forwards here, mate. What are your thoughts on some of these guys? Faamasuli, Salmon, Hughes, Curran, going forward.
Yeah, big Poasa in the middle. I don't see him getting huge minutes at the moment, but I think he's probably worth a shout, right? In the emergencies, like I still see him coming on, maybe playing 10-15 and then playing 10-15 at the back end of the game as well. But I don't know if that's going to be enough for him to get big scores. I still like the look of Sam Hughes as a start. Well, at least an interchange spot. I think he's probably going to rotate with Faamasuli and get the bulk of those minutes. Because I think Faamasuli is there just to take the heat out of the game at the start and allow Sam Hughes to get into his work. So probably one you can run, Faamasuli, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does come out and maybe score you 20, 25. It wouldn't be surprising at all. Max King's probably the big winner here. I think he's going to get back to big minutes in the middle. So he is expensive, 630K, but he should be scoring 50s pretty much week in, week out with their forward rotation. I don't see Kurt Mann taking on big minutes. He'll obviously rotate with Jamin Salmon at lock, but Salmon's a big winner here. The fact that he got that lock spot, I think you can pretty much lock him in at 280. What is he, 289? Yeah, he's so cheap. Like he should be scoring at least a 30 there and making you about 100, 120K off the bat. So yeah, I think everyone should have Salmon in their team.
I agree. Yeah, he's locked in, and it's kind of hard to see where the value is with the prop rotation because Sam Hughes, he's kind of been locked into my team for a while. He's pretty highly owned, has a good PPM, and then now we've got Pouassa as well. If you're deciding between the two of them, there's 50K more starting with Faamasuli. Which way are you leaning?
I'm leaning Hughes, I think. I think Pouassa's probably going to come on. He'll be there to take the sting out of the game. And I think Hughes will probably play more minutes than Pouassa in the end. I think Hughes will probably sit around the 45-ish, 50 minutes, and Pouassa closer to the 30, 35 minute mark.
That's good. I agree with that. And he's 50K cheaper.
Exactly.
It's a good kind of tiebreaker. the only other thing is Josh Curran, complete line through him. Be named on the bench here.
Yep, pretty much. Get him out of your team. He's way too owned still. Actually, probably one thing to check because he was close to 40 40-ish% owned at one point. 23.6. So yeah, nearly half the coaches have jumped off him so far. But yeah, that should be under 5% by the start of the season. Or it should be. I don't know if it's going to be. But yeah, definitely jump off Josh Curran.
Sweet, mate. Let's move on to the Titans.
Touch on Drew Hutchinson. God.
Drew Hutchinson.
He's like the best half. Bench half, anyway. You're not going to probably start him. But what are your thoughts on Drew Hutchinson? Because I think I'm trying to fit him into my team at the moment.
Wow, that's a huge call. I'll be honest, I haven't really considered him. And I also don't have a bench half, which is maybe some foresight on my behalf. But yeah, coming in at 400K, he's interesting. I maybe haven't had my finger on the pulse with these trials and how much kicking and things like that he's been doing. But from what I've kind of been hearing, he's kind of taking a more general role in this team and giving Matt Burton a bit more license to roam and chime in when he wants to, which would make sense. But yeah, he plays for the Bulldogs.
Well, it's either him or Flanagan, right? Like, if you're going to pick a bench half, it's Hutchinson or Flanagan at this point, because they're the only two cheap, good options.
I definitely prefer him over Flanagan.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning. Because I wanted to have Weeks as that, like, you know, utility that I could chuck into the halves if I need to. But yeah, he's not even there. So Hutchinson's probably the next best at the moment.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, don't mind that shout, to be fair, mate. What do you, like, do you think he's in the 40s? Is he someone you're going to potentially start with in your, on your, one of your four interchange spots for this opening game?
It's actually so hard because I think he's a safe 30. I think he'll get you 30 most weeks, but he'll need some attacking stats and some kick meters and stuff to go to, like, the high 30s, 40s mark. It's just hard to predict because obviously he was at the Roosters before. He was scoring quite well when he was playing when Sam Walker was out. I'm having a hard time feeling comfortable with him in my team, but I think he's the only real option that I have, especially if you're carrying both Cleary and Hines with a lot of people are, including myself. You're going to need two bench halves come Origin. So I think if you can lock in Hutchinson now, he'll get you 30, hopefully, and see how we'll see how he pans out before Origin. But then you'll be looking to get another half in closer to that Origin period, and hopefully you'll have enough cash to get a decent, well, close to gun at that point.
Okay, yeah, that's not a bad shout. And probably worth highlighting to folks as well, Ethan Strange has got the dual half now as well, which is really handy. There was a couple of position changes.
Good point.
So there is, like, I guess potentially, if, like, worse comes to worse and Cleary gets a suspension for a week or whatever like that, you maybe do some shuffling with getting Strange up there as well.
I guess, but do you have a bench center at the moment? Like, I don't have a bench center currently. I'm running Burbo and Strange, and I don't have any other center players
as well.
Yeah, I've stuck him in my winger fullbacks because I don't have Weeks either. So it's so hard at the moment. It's very, very hard to have some depth.
I agree. And that's maybe another reason why I'm kind of interested in, like, an RTS or a Kiraz, just have an extra center. Yeah. And another jewel there.
Fair.
But that was a good chat highlighting Drew Hutchinson, because yeah, I think if you're gonna go for a cheaper half, he's probably the one to look at.
Yeah, safer option for sure.
All right, now let's go to the Titans. We've got Titans v Dragons here on Saturday night. Keanu Kinney is starting at fullback. It looks like for at least, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks potentially, with some news about Jaden Campbell being probably in that 4 to 6 week range for his injury. Titans do have the bye round two as well. And then Cleese Haas starting in the edge spot for David Fafita. Bo Firm is back. Keenan Palacios starting in the 13. Chris Randall starting at 9-2, which I thought was kind of interesting. Tino starting prop with Mofo. Anything else? The forwards are kind of a little bit interesting to me. Just wasn't really how I expected it to pan out.
Yeah.
And guys like Cleese Haas, I kind of hadn't really thought about here, but I don't know if there's a whole lot of value, maybe outside of, I think I've seen a few teams with Palacia in them, but nothing too much here, mate. What about yourself?
Yeah, I guess the main thing is, what's the rotation look like with Aaron Clark or Isaac Liu for Palacia? Like, is he just going to play 20, 30 minutes, then get rotated, or is he going to hold that spot for a good portion of time and then take a break in the second half? Like, I think with this whole Titans team, well, the forward pack anyway, I'd give them a couple dates just to see how it pans out. You can still jump on him next round. If Palacia gets like 60 plus minutes, then I'd be jumping on him for sure. But I wouldn't touch Cleese Haas with Fifita coming back. I probably wouldn't touch Randall with the rotation with Verrills. The back line, Keanu Kinney, probably a pretty safe pickup at this point. He'll get you at least two rounds. He'll play round one and three and should see a couple of price rises before we jump on Jaden Campbell. But yeah, I wouldn't probably be going in near anyone else in this team at the moment.
Yeah, the Kinney one's interesting. He could, yeah, not be a bad option if you go him, hoping he gets, you know, around the 350k mark in these two games or something like that. And then it's maybe like 100k, 100 bit k swap to Campbell when he comes back. Not sure if I see the value in it, just because you just depends on like what the landscape is. We never know, you know, in 2-3 weeks, there could be another few really good cheapies that we need to get in. So having to use your trade to get Kinney up to Campbell could be costly.
Well, it's either Kinney or Tua Peake, right, at this point. I think people are running with one or the other, and I think just because Kinney's a lot cheaper, yeah, it's probably safer to go him than risk a Tua Peake with Chans coming back.
It's no bad shout. Yeah, it's just these KO weeks. And some of these other guys have kind of made it, yeah, landscape here at winger fullback that's tough. Kinney, yeah, is decently high owned, around that 23% folks owning him. I'm pretty interested in Jack Bostock as well, which we'll touch on at some point too. I think he's not a bad shout, and he's been plugged into my team for a while. But yeah, I can see people, can see why people are doing that. Let's move on though, mate. To the Dragons. Jack Bird in the centres, as has been kind of documented through the offseason. Kyle Flano, your man there in the halves. Jacob Little, starting hooker, but there's Connor, don't even know how to say his last name, Mulheason, is the bench hooker. Okay, I'll take that. Filian Fifita, kind of an interesting one there on the bench for a lot of people, starting at basement price. Tom Eisenhuth has that edge spot with RFM on the bench, though, and potentially Viliama Fifita will come in on the edge as well. JDB starting 13 again. Looks like he's going to get decent stint there again. I think that pretty much covers it for the Dragons, mate. What are your thoughts on any of these guys? Are any of them in your team?
No, none of them are at the moment. Yeah, I think I'm just steering clear of the Dragons altogether at this point. The other one that I've kind of considered is Moses Suli and Jaden Sua. Sua, just because he, during the trials, he looked sick. Even the back end of last year, he looked very good. So he's probably got a little bit of value in him, but not enough to be a lock in most teams. Moses Suli, he had a bit of a drop-off last year, not a lot of attacking stats, and if he can even get a couple more, you know, he should be hitting in the high 30s, because that's normally where his average sits at about 38. But, yeah, pretty expensive centre still to get in, like most people looking at cheapies there. Tom Eisenhuth is a decent shout, but like you said, you got RFM on the bench that most likely will be coming on an edge at some point, and I don't see them taking off Sua either, so... Yeah, probably steering clear of most of the team. They've all got a lot of risks.
I want to talk about one player that is in my team, and I'm sure you'll probably talk me out of him in this next stint, but I've got Viliam Fida just plugging in a spot on my emergencies. He's 230k. You think with the way they've named this team, they've got a bench hooker here, they've got seemingly RFM or even him coming in and spelling, doing that kind of 20, 30 minutes on the edge. I don't know. I think there's an avenue here for him to get a bit of money, decent minutes, probably just going to be a slow burn plotter, try and if you can get like the odd 30 and see some price rises, that's kind of the role I can see for him. And just as a way to kind of free up cash, he's in my team. What are your thoughts? Talk me out of it.
Yeah, look, I don't hate it, but I look at his New South Wales Cup stats and they're not pretty either. So I just don't think he's going to be making that much cash off the bench or see that many minutes either. Because I know Blake Laurie can play big minutes. RFM can play big minutes when he comes on as well. It's just hard to see him getting more than 20 odd minutes off the bench. And like he averaged less than 30, I think around the mid 20s last season in New South Wales Cup. So yeah, probably not one that I'd be going near. Although 230K, I mean, stranger things have happened. It's not like he has to get big scores to get price rises, but I just think he's probably going to plug one of your emergency spots and you're not going to be able to use him at all.
Poor man's Sam Hughes, maybe.
Very poor man, Sam Hughes.
Yeah, he's one that might have to be upgraded. We'll see what happens, but let's keep plugging through, mate. We're talking, we're on to the last game of the round. How good is this? We've got the Finns versus the Cows. Probably the one I want to highlight here off the bat here, we got Jack Bostock. He's been kind of my man through this offseason. He had a really nice try in the preseason challenge as well. Big hanger coming over the top from the wing and crashing over. Really liked it. I think that he's won this spot over some guys like Big Val Meninga and some of the talent they've got in this Dolphins team. I think that says a decent amount, and he should get an extended run here on the wing for the Finns. He's playing outside Tessie New, I believe, and not outside Herbie, which is good because Herbie doesn't pass the ball. So I think that bodes well for him. Also, we got in the Dolphins, Cody Nikorima and Sean O'Sullivan starting the halves. I kind of didn't expect that. I thought Gatoa would be back there, but they've gone with the experience in Cody. JMK, my man, also there, starting hooker, but they've named Max Plath, who I assume he's a kind of hooker half, I assume will spell JMK at some point. My other man, Connolly, he's back in the starting edge spot. Ray Stone also starting at 13 for no Tom Gilbert. It's kind of interesting to me. I've just dribbled a lot at you there, mate. Do something with that. What are your thoughts?
Oh, there's lots of thoughts. The fact that Aitken didn't make the team at all is crazy to me. Same with Jared Wallace. He looked so good. He didn't make it at all. Jake Averillo didn't make it. Tessie New, to be fair to him, won that spot fair and square. He has good. Been very good. But yeah, this whole Dolphins team, they all have risks. Like Bostock, he's going to be solely try dependent. Like they have to score tries, otherwise he's not going to be getting many points. Doesn't have a high base at all. JMK would have been good, except he looked average during the trials. Plus he has Max Plath spelling him a little bit, so probably not one to go near. Lemuelu, he's going to be the same as last year, except you're not going to be able to put him in the centers. Probably not going to go near him. Ray Stone interests me a little bit, but like I just don't know how it's going to pan out. Probably one I give a few dates to see what his minutes turn out to be like and his scores. Flegler is the probably only upside here. He's probably the only player with upside in this team, but I'm still not convinced. I know you were more convinced than I was about him. I think I'm going to give him a few weeks before I go near him.
Yeah, I've kind of gone off him, to be honest.
Bit too expensive.
Yeah, I just think there's a decent amount of other options. I prefer going guys like we'll talk about in a sec with like Lukey and some of these other edges that have emerged. Sean Lane, I prefer over him still. I don't know. Just doesn't have as much upside. I think he could come in and be hitting 40s, make a bit of money, but I can't see him hitting those like 60 plus scores that I think if it all goes well for guys like Lukey and Lane, they could be hitting those scores.
Yeah, fair.
But no, man, I think that was a pretty good wrap on the Finns. Let's move on to the Cows. Pretty stock standard here as well, and similar last year. Zach Laybutt gets that center spot from, Peter Hiku. He's taken that spot. And then Hill and Lukey obviously starting on the edge there with no Luciano Leilua. Connor gets the starting 13. Lolo is there starting in the pack at number 10. No Sammy Valame in this team. No Thomas McKaylee in this team. And they've got Sam Mack, Finney Fuyaki, and Neem and Granville on the bench. So kind of an interesting bench makeup. But I don't think there's a whole lot of value in this team outside of maybe Lukey and Cotter. Anything else or players you want to touch on here, mate?
Well, even Lukey. I'm off him now. Finney Fuyaki on the bench scares the absolute hell out of me. I just don't see Lukey getting 80 now. Like, he'll probably still get big minutes, but Finney Fuyaki, he can easily take 30, 40 minutes off him. So I'm getting a bit cold on Lukey now. So he's probably one to reconsider at this point, but it does look good for guys like Cotter and Robson. I think at the moment they should be playing pretty close to 80. Cotter probably closer to 70. In this team, he might get spelled by Granville at some point, but I don't see Tamalolo having a big engine at the front rower spot. So yeah, I think there's more value in Cotter than Lukey definitely at the moment.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. He's not in my team. I thought he was. Where's he gone? he has been in and out of my team throughout this offseason. I'm going to go into bat for Hill and Lukey here because I think he's been a lock in my team for a while, and this news doesn't really scare me from him. Like, I think he was always going to have someone on the bench probably stopping him from playing 80, but I don't know. I don't think he needs 80 minutes. He's one of those guys. He's just got some, like, freakish upside in attack. The big limbs, long levers. He has an offload as well. Like, I think he can do a lot of damage in 50 to 60 minutes. And I think, you know, if he's not playing, like, when he plays 80 even, his kind of engine goes down a little bit. When he plays 50 to 60, he kind of goes balls out for that amount of time. And, yeah, I'm quite keen on him. So he's locked in for me. But
fair. I'll just let me just read out a couple scores from Hill and Lukey last season. 56. This is in him starting in the back row, not playing 80, but, you know, the 50 to 70-ish mark. 56.
You help me here, or yet?
No, you'll see in a second. 19, 84, 13, 60, 39.
Yeah, I'll take that.
That's so up and down. Like, you're never going to get a consistent score. It's just, yeah, it's worrying, right? Like, if he gets a big score and then drops to a small score, like, you just don't know what he's going to look like week to week. Like, and if you look at his stats, it's a lot of missed tackles, and then the week after, a lot of tackle busts and no missed tackles. Like, it's so strange. I think he just needs a bit of consistency, but can definitely see him being a gun. I think I'd just give him a week to see what the situation turns out like with Finney Fuyaki at this point.
Yeah, not a bad shout, mate. Well, that kind of wraps up team list. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Any other players in your team that we've kind of missed that you want to spin a yarn about?
Or I mean, should we touch on questions? Should we touch on the Tigers or go straight to fan questions?
Oh, well, there's not a single one of them in my team. I can tell you that one. Three. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of hard not having the team list. I was really kind of keen on the Alamalo, whatever his name is, that guy who we might get that wing spot. That'd be really nice if we knew that for sure going into this first round here. Coruscant, I've been hearing a lot of chat about. He could be starting and getting 80 minutes as hooker and potentially kicking goals, which at 608K is pretty nice. I don't know. Is there any other guys you want to talk about? Caesar, who's coming across.
Yeah, he's never really been a good scorer, but I think Seyfarth might have a shout to win the lock spot when he was named at 13 during the last trial game. So there's a potential there, but you wouldn't hold him on the emergencies because it could easily be Bateman. So I would just wait and see with all the Tigers players at this point and regroup for round two for them.
That's a good shout. That's kind of what I'm doing as well. Probably the best team that could be on the bye for this opening round, to be
yeah.
fair.
Yeah, not wrong. Not wrong.
Well, sweet, mate, let's get into some questions or...
Yeah, sure. Yep. Right on. I'm just going to throw them at you. Cool. Question from Andrew. Should I get rid of Papenhuyzen for RTS or Taylor May?
No, keep Papenhuyzen. He's one we didn't even really talk about him. He's just been such a lock for us during the off season. He's pretty cheap in comparison. Like, he's under 500K for what he can be. Plus, yep. He's just so highly owned. I think, yeah, lock in with Pappy.
Yep, fair. Question from pretty much half the questions here are, what are your top three cheapies?
Top three cheapies? I guess I'll go with Salmon. He was up there now. I think he's probably one of them. A lot of people already have Burbo, but so I'll leave him out of this list. Then probably two, I'll go with Ethan Strange just for that center cover and the half cover. And then third, maybe I'll chuck in Joe Chan from the Storm. I think he has a lot of upside. He could be hitting 30s, 40s off the bat here. Like we've seen with guys like Dory and, I don't know, some of these edges and the past that have come out. Without, you know, much knowledge. So they're probably my top three.
Yep, agreed. I might chuck Kotrick in there as well, just because if he can come back to form. Like, I remember the first season he was in on a wing and he was, you know, he made like 6 or 7 tackle busts a game and was scoring in the mid-30s, 40s. So, yeah, if he can get back to form, absolutely a must-have. Question from Riley. How many minutes do you think Robson will play?
He should be, getting pretty close to 80 there, at least. Yep. Yeah, 65 plus. With Granville has kind of come in previous times and played, just like makeshift roles. He's filled in at centers. He has played a little bit of lock. Hasn't really affected Robson too much. He seems to be playing, big minutes, whatever that bench makeup is.
Yeah, pretty sure he gets 75, 80 pretty much every game. Question from Andy. What's up with Elliot Whitehead? Does this make Hosking an option?
I don't think so. What we were saying, he's injured Elliot Whitehead.
Yeah, 3 to 4 weeks, apparently. So he'll be back over the next month sometime. But so will Big Red. So most likely Morgan Smithies moves to an edge and Hosking drops out at some point. I don't know what week that will happen. Like, Hosking will probably still play the first round or two, but I wouldn't pick up a player for 1 or 2 rounds that's not going to be making a bunch of cash. So probably not one to go.
I agree with that. And Hosking as well, he's almost at that 600K mark. I think there's just better options. Even though he looked obviously really good last year playing for Penrith, and he was pretty solid last year. But yeah, I was just saying there's probably other ways he can go.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. He's going to score well. Like, definitely pick him up in draft if you can, but I wouldn't be holding my breath that he's going to stay in this team long term. With Lussick and Hands both in, how many minutes do you think each will have? I'm probably leaning 40-40, to be honest. Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're going to be very far off each other, probably equivalent. What do you reckon?
Oh, you're the Eels man. You probably are more hooked in than I am. I was kind of thinking maybe it's like a, 50-30 split, something like that, where Lussick gets a bit more minutes. But I don't know. I think either way, I don't think either of them are an option.
Yeah, correct. That's exactly how they did it during the trial. Lussick got 50, Hands got 30. I think it should probably be the other way, and Lussick comes in, takes the sting out at hooker, and then Hands gets to roam a bit more. But I don't know. I think they're not worth even contemplating while they're both in the team. So... just avoid there. Question from Isaac. Is Hughes a keeper? What do you think a good alternative would be? I assume he means Jerome Hughes.
I was thinking,
Sam
Hughes, maybe he's a keeper. That'd be great. Sam Hughes comes out like pumping out 50s just off the bench here. But yeah,
that'd be great. Awesome.
Look, I don't know. With Hughes, it's kind of tricky because a lot of people are starting with Hines and Cleary for good reason. I think we've kind of, ignored a lot of the other options.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people were running with 3 halves last year with SJ. I think there's definitely some merit to arguments for, yeah, Jerome Hughes, Munster, Moses, D-bags, like...
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
all these guys are interesting. Yeah.
Good question for you. Ignoring Hines and Cleary as the top two halves, who do you think your next top three are?
Next top three, like all players, regardless
all,
of price?
All halves. No, halves. Just halves.
Just halves of like... But it doesn't really matter the price, like, because some of them are too expensive that I probably wouldn't consider at their price.
But I meant more scoring wise, like who's going to average the highest out of the next best halves, like after your Cleary and Hines, your next top three scoring halves?
Probably SJ, Moses, and then they're probably like my two big ones. Then next could be like a Hughes, Monster, D-bag, so they're probably going for that third spot.
Okay, yeah. That's a good shout. I think Moses, SJ were probably my next big two. And then it's an absolute scramble between, I think, Munster and Dylan Brown and DCE probably.
Even Adam Reynolds, he got 58. Like,
yeah, pretty big.
He's also in that conversation. Oh, DCE. I was just scrolling through my thing and his scores have popped to the top because he's already played. DCE is also in that. He's probably actually in that top three conversation. And would bump out Munster and Dylan Brown for me.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what Luke Brooks does there, how much attacking stats he gets, and what his kicking looks like. But yeah, I still think DC is value to have. I mean, a lot of questions here. Like, is Joe Chan a pick? Yes, we've said he's probably going to get a good couple weeks. He's a decent pickup.
Yeah, lock him in.
Bring in Strange for weeks. Yes, obviously you're bringing in Strange for weeks. Question from Steady, I guess his name is. What's the go with Connor Watson? Why has he not cracked a bench spot? Will he get in the team?
Great question, and I wish I knew. That's been, I don't know, it's been one of the weird things this offseason. Yeah, he hasn't got much of a run. Even like in the trials, really, has he?
He must still be carrying some sort of injury. Like, I think he would be the obvious choice to have on the bench. I don't know why they would carry a Sandon Smith over him. But yeah, something must be up there. There must be some sort of injury or something keeping him out of the team for sure.
I think so too. He made the bloke in the bar best looking blokes team though. So if that does anything for you, I don't know. Maybe he's all right. I don't know. Controversy.
Question from Fraser. Is Palacia a buy?
Don't think so. I think your things you said earlier about just the Titans bench makeup and what minutes everyone's going to be playing, new coach, etc. It's too many unknowns for me. It's more of a wait and see situation.
Yep, sounds good. A question from Jordan. Is Liam Martin a good buy based off the World Club Challenge score? I think he can be. I think Martin can be a decent buy. It's the unknown of Sorensen coming back for me.
That's a good shout. I'll be honest, I didn't know what he scored during the World Club Challenge. I think the World Club Challenge is kind of silly, but but yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I think, yeah, as we kind of talked about, yeah, no, Sorensen should be getting 80 minutes on this edge. He's playing outside of Cleary. Why not?
Yeah, it's a risk, but a pretty good risk to take. Another question. Would you go Appy or Robson to start the season?
Probably Robson.
Yep.
Just, locked in minutes. He's kind of done it last season and maybe a little bit the season before. Has a bit more consistency. Doesn't play for the Tigers. He's probably the choice for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm happy with that. What is your ideal allocation for the bench and your emergency spots? So I think they're asking like positions, like how many backups do you generally have for each position, or do you just kind of wing it and pick whoever you want?
Well, that's a good question. I'm pretty stacked on the edge and the mids in my bench spots, especially for those four interchange ones who obviously count in year 17. I've also tried to get like one backup for each position, kind of depending on where they are. So Kotrich is my backup for like the centers and wing of fullbacks. I've also got Danny Levi who covers hooker. The one probably I haven't got at the moment, but maybe I'll switch to a Drew Hutchinson, is one in the halves. So yeah, I guess kind of rule of thumb, try and have one in each position and then stack the pack with the rest of them is how I usually go for it.
Yep, I agree with that completely. Your mids and your edges are going to be scoring the highest for you, sometimes the halves like there was last year, but I wouldn't spend too much time stacking your wingers or your centers or even hooker sometimes, especially this year hooker. There's not a ton of value now. Looked like there was a ton of value about 2 months ago, but yeah, now it's getting a bit more narrow at the top there for the hookers.
I think that's probably like a good way of just starting the season. Like, you know, your wing of fullbacks, your centers, they're going to fluctuate in scores. Your edges going to be basing, getting those more consistent points. You can kind of build your team through those big boys at the front and then use that to fix up other parts of your team when they start to make cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Good shout. Question from Josh. Thoughts on Adam Elliott or Tom Flegler for a bench spot?
Yeah, they're interesting. I think they're in consideration for sure. I think it's kind of like a gut call with those two. Like if you're a believer, I'd say go for it. There's just like a lot of guys that probably fit that mold that I'm willing to look elsewhere. Like I'm willing to go for a Heal and Lukey over those guys. Or I'm happy to go for like, spend a bit more and go for like a Cotter. That's probably the way I'm looking, going like a Lukey Cotter versus like either of those two. Adam Elliott, kind of interesting. I picked him up in a draft league. He could be, yeah, one of those guys who comes out and averages like 50 like he's done in previous seasons. But and he had some good scores towards the back of last year, to be fair, when the Knights were, you know, braining it. But I don't know. Just don't really know. Leo Thompson, he could come and have like a bigger impact as well this year. They got the Saifidi guys there who could eat into his minutes. So I think there's just like a lot of question marks. Same with Flegler, like obviously they've lost Tom Gilbert now. There is an opening for more minutes for him, but I don't know, we haven't really seen him before. Haven't really seen him play more than 50 minutes, which kind of like I think where he needs to be if he's going to be a good value for you. So yeah, a lot of question marks, so I'm probably just waiting and seeing on those two.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'm a bit more interested in Elliott at this point in time, just because the bench makeup doesn't look like it's going to take many minutes away from him, but I think I'd give him a week or two before jumping on him at this point. So yeah, one to definitely place to consider, probably give him a couple weeks anyway, just to see how they pan out to be safe. You don't want to get stuck with them in your team. Yeah. Last question from Nick. Thoughts on Bailey Simonson?
Yeah, not one I'm really considering, if I'm honest. As you're saying, he might come into the centers once Sivo comes back, but I don't know. He's had some decent base. He's probably, like, his price is a little bit awkward at the 473 mark. It's kind of, to be fair, like, there's not a lot of great options under 473K. You see why people are looking at him, but I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with guys like Bostock or now like maybe Kinney and some of these other guys versus Simonson, just save myself a bit more cash that I can put somewhere else.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Moses Sully is 450, so I'd probably prefer him over Simonson. But because Simonson's playing on the wing to start, I think I'm going to keep an eye on him just when Sivo comes back to see if he does crack the center spot, because he should lose a bit of cash over the coming weeks. And then when he moves to center where he scores so much better, he might be one to snag up. Hopefully he's about 400K at that point and you can pick him up pretty cheaply. So another player to keep an eye on, but not to start with at this stage. Righto, Josh, that wraps it up, mate. Good team list session. Obviously, it will be interesting to see the Tigers next week, but I think that's pretty much it.
That's a deep dive. How long are we going for here? Like an hour and a half of
Yeah, feels like it. Nah, it's definitely
feels like
close to an hour.
it.
But yeah, good session. Love your stuff.
Great. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Get around us on socials, obviously, Footy Brains Pod on Instagram, Twitter, etc. Yeah, cheers for listening. Hope you brain it.